Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. We have the pleasure of sitting down with Ravens offensive tackle Daniel Falele. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I gotta say, you might be the biggest guest that we've ever had on the lounge. 6'8", high 300s. If you see the couch tilting a little bit, we know why. This man is huge. How often do you, like, when you're just walking around town and all that, like, do you get the gawkers? Do you get people like, hey, that guy must play football kind of thing? Like, what's the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I get it all. I mean, it's definitely too hard to hide. So I get all the questions, like, you know, what's the weather like? Like, what sport do you play? Do you
I'll
play
resist.
Basketball? Stuff like that.
But I'll resist the what's the weather like that up there joke. I'm tempted, but I'll resist.
You know, we... Yeah, of course, Orlando Brown was here, and he's been on the lounge as well, so yeah. He rivals that. But you know, I'm just kind of curious, like, for you, as being a big tackle, like, that is part of the strength of your game, man, is your size. Orlando was the same way. I brought him up, but like, how do you use that to your advantage?
I think you know, obviously, just being bigger than everyone, having the length on everyone, using my my arms and my wingspans is just, you know, to my advantage, because obviously I have longer arms than everybody else.
Yeah.
But also, just being bigger, it's easier to move people out the way, easier to absorb blocks. So there's definitely advantages to it, but you know, definitely some things to work on as well.
So as we can see, you're working hard. We got the towel out. You're working hard in this all season program. Just how's it going?
It's going good. So after I came back from my off season travels, I just came back here for about a month and a bit, and been here ever since. So it's really just picking up where we started.
Right. And obviously, going into a big year three, is that kind of on your mind? You know, Morgan traded. There's an opening at right tackle where you stepped in last year too. How much is that kind of playing into your mind? Like, all right, I have an opportunity here. Let's run with it.
It plays a lot. I mean, this is everything I wanted. I have an opportunity to compete at right tackle and, you know, hopefully securing that spot throughout camp. But, yeah, I mean, that's in the forefront of my mind every time I come in the building, is just, you know, working hard and making sure I'm doing everything I can to put myself in the best position.
Mm. Where were you when you found out that Morgan had been traded?
Oh, I was here, actually.
And what was, like, take me through when finding out and kind of your whole thought process as you got that news.
Immediately, it was kind of a shock, kind of sad, just because, you know, got close to Morgan throughout the seasons and really learned a lot from him, just being an older vet, and, you know, just watching him practice, prepare, and play really just helped me mold my game. So definitely, you know, that hurt a little bit, but also saw it as a great opportunity for myself, and I'm grateful for it.
Does that mean something? Like, you're a young player and you've had some opportunities to play, you know, in your in your first 2 years. But, you know, part of the reason that the Ravens made the trade is that they've got confidence in you and that you've got this opportunity here to step in and compete and potentially win that job. You know, does that vote of confidence in you mean something from them?
Definitely. Just, you know, having that support and knowing that the coaches believe in me, especially Coach D, he's always been encouraging throughout the years. It's just great to have that support and knowing that, you know, I can lean on him for advice whenever I'm, you know, stuck or need help with anything. But yeah, just super grateful for them.
What were some of the biggest lessons that you took away from last season and the starting experience that you got?
Really just building confidence in myself. You know, going up against the best players like Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, all of them, seeing where I stack up and where I can work on myself. Definitely just use that to build confidence and, you know, what I can work on this offseason.
Were there any blocks that really kind of stand out in your mind from last year where you got TJ Watt or Myles Garrett, any of those guys?
There's a few, but I don't know. Gotta go back and
you'll save it for the field.
Yeah,
what would you say is like the biggest lesson that you've learned in your 2 years so far in the NFL?
The biggest lesson? Just being a pro, really. Just watching like Kevin Zeitler and Morgan and how they come to work every day, you know, even though they're banged up or hurt, they still show up for the team, and just seeing how their selflessness, you know, impacts us as a group. I feel like that was the biggest thing I took from them.
Yeah. So when you talk about being a pro, yeah, like you mentioned that you've been here, like you've been working here, and is that like, I'm curious just to hear you about your mindset this off season. Like, you talked about how it's at the forefront of your mind that you got this opportunity in front of you, but you spent a lot of time here working and training and getting ready for this season. Is all of that part of just learning what it means to be a pro?
I think it is. Yeah. Just for me, my first 2 years, I stayed around here also. So I felt like it worked for me and helped me get in shape for fall camp. Mm. So just felt like it worked once. So I changed it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about Jody Alessandris, the Ravens offensive line coach. And, you know, he has a reputation of really helping guys develop, right? Mm. Guys like you come in here and you check a lot of boxes physically. It's like, man, this guy has all the tools, right? And he just continues to work at his craft. Like, he can become a really, really good player. Mm-hmm. What is it about Joe D that makes him so good at developing guys like yourself? How does he go about it?
First of all, I feel like he's just a really good teacher. He breaks it down really well in the classroom. And then when we go to the field, he applies the same drills that we do.
They kind of translate?
Yeah, they translate well to, like, on the field and in the classroom. So that just makes sense there. And we do basically the same drills every practice, so we know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that just helps us get better at one thing at a time rather than, trying to fix little things here and there.
You got some practice time also at guard. They mm-hmm. were kind of playing around with that. Do you view yourself now, all right, I'm going to get that shot at tackle? And how did that experience, even just in practice at guard, did that kind of help you with your game at tackle too?
It definitely helped me understand, like, what the guards see and how they play. And just getting their perspective from just helps me understand the bigger picture from a tackle perspective. But, it was definitely cool and fun to get those reps in.
Yeah. We also see, Ben Cleveland's here at workouts, Andrew mm-hmm. Voorhees, some of these other guys, young guys like yourself. With all the changes on the offensive line, there's a lot of open starting positions. There's three of them right now. And there's a lot of buzz about, the Ravens are rebuilding this offensive line. What's the mentality of all you guys as people are kind of questioning, what's this Ravens line going to look like after losing so many vets? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like just all of us collectively understand what it takes to, get to where we want to get to, especially from last season and just learning from the older vets and stuff like that. Definitely just helps us paint that picture and build a vision collectively and where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. So do you, obviously the draft is coming up. Like, do you pay attention to it? Obviously you have your own draft stories, but do you pay attention to the draft?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so do you plan to watch it on Thursday night, just kind of see what the Ravens end up doing?
Yeah, I'll definitely tune in just to see what's happening, see new teammates, see who we pick up, stuff like that.
Yeah, and obviously the Ravens, this offensive line rebuild process is like, it's a process, and it's, adding pieces to the equation is going to take place over the course of draft weekend, and it's like
they're
more competition.
Draft an offensive line. That's probably going to happen.
You're going to add more competition. Like, how do you view that as like a player? Like, more competition. All right, let's go. Like, how do you view adding more competition to that room?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a good thing. I feel like competition, makes us all get better just because we're always competing with somebody. But I feel like that's just a part of the business, part of the league is just, they're always going to try and find somebody else to replace you. So just having that mindset will help me, keep my job and hopefully practice harder and play harder.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we want to let listeners and viewers kind of get to know you and your backstory a little bit. And you grew up in Australia, and that's where you went back to this offseason, I understand?
Right, yeah. So I left Australia when I was 16. Went to Florida to play high school football for 2 years. And then played in Minnesota for 4 years and then came here.
Yeah. I mean, how hard was that decision to leave home, go literally to the other side of the world, right? And you're taking a chance on yourself, right? You're betting on yourself. Like, take me inside what that decision was like.
It definitely wasn't an easy decision, especially for my mom, because growing up, it was just me and my mom and my brother. So we were really tight-knit. And it was a difficult decision, but at the end of the day, I just wanted to give myself an opportunity to explore football and see where that could take me. Okay. And I wouldn't say it was a bad one.
I think it paid off.
It worked out pretty well. So were you a fan of American football as a kid?
I had no idea what it was.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
So when did you, when did football come on your radar?
Yeah, so when I was 16, I got my first offer in Australia from Hawaii. And that's where I first really got like an understanding of like what that meant. Cause he was like, you can get a full ride scholarship.
Wait, and you hadn't played football at all?
No.
Man, that's the life, man. I want to be 6'8".
Yeah. So he was like, they were checking out other rugby players at the time at the gym I was working out at. And they just saw me there, put me through like a couple offensive line drills. Mm-hmm. And they liked what they saw. So they offered me. And I told my mom, and she just couldn't believe it and, like, didn't really understand what it was either.
Yeah.
But from there, like, the ball just started rolling. And then Michigan actually did a satellite camp in Australia, and that helped me build a pathway to IMG.
Yeah, so Jim Harbaugh was kind of essential in this. Can you tell the story behind Jim and his influence on you coming to the States?
Yeah, so Michigan was interested in me when I was in Australia, and they decided to do a satellite camp. Mm-hmm. And it was a good camp. I had fun and stuff. And actually, Coach Tuiti, he was a D-line coach at the time. Mm-hmm. He helped me connect with the coaches at IMG, and I got the ball rolling there.
Interesting. So, like, what was the camp? Like, the satellite camp with Michigan? Like, was it...
Yeah.
What did that, was it a day long camp and you just kind of learned football skills? Like, what did that camp look like?
It was like different stations for drills, and it was like a bunch of different age groups. Like, there was like young guys, it was older people, and basically we were all just doing drills, one-on-ones and stuff. It was just like a 4-hour camp.
Okay. And so that 4-hour camp then leads you to going to IMG. You basically just get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
In that process. And from there, you connect with the coaches in Florida at IMG.
Yeah.
And then you, what's the conversation with your mom to say, hey, okay, so this football thing, there could be something here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move across the world and go to Florida where I've never been. Like, what was, take me through those conversations.
Yeah. So she was definitely scared at first. But just seeing how, like, I don't know, how excited I was about it, she, like, really couldn't tell me no. So, I left by myself and moved when I was 16, and, yeah, that was that.
Wow. So I'm interested in how nasty of a rugby player you were, because if I see you barreling towards me, it's one thing to pass rush you, but you're coming at me like that. I mean, it's like a pool block, I guess, right? Like, like, was rugby something that you were – really good at considering a future in and whatnot?
Definitely growing up, I, you know, wanted to be a professional rugby player.
Okay.
But I stopped playing when I was 12, just because, I don't know, I didn't really like the sport anymore. So I started playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And then from there, football.
What's going through your head, and how did it look like when college coaches come out there and they're like, all right, we want you to do some O-lineman drills and you've never played the game before? Like, and they come away impressed enough to say, yeah, you know what, we're offering you. Like, what are you thinking during that?
For me, it was just really overwhelming at first. Just trying to gather like all this information. Like, I had no idea what football was, or like, I didn't even know they had a school in Hawaii. So just learning all that was kind of overwhelming, but, I don't know. I got really excited about the opportunities I had. Yeah.
I read that, tell me if this is true, that one of the ways that you learned the game was by playing Madden.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So when I went to IMG, there's like four teams now, but when I was there, there was two. There was a national team and the varsity team. And we were really close at the time because I had no one else there. So I'd always just hang around my teammates, and we'd always play Madden or something. And that just helped me learn like the game and, you know, what a first down means, second down, third down, all that. Yeah, it was good.
What did it mean to you this offseason to go back to Australia and see your family? And does that kind of vault you into this year a little bit mentally?
Yeah, definitely. It was good to take like a little mental break and just, you know, see where it all started. Going on this journey, it's, you know, easy to get caught up in the moment. And I felt like going back home just really helped me reset and put everything into perspective and why I'm doing this, who I'm doing it for, stuff like that.
Right.
And it was the trip home this year. That was your first time there since the time that you left when you were 16 years old?
That was my first time back, yeah, since 2017. So, yeah.
And was it like an emotional return?
Definitely, because I surprised my family. They didn't know I was coming back home.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
So it was a really good surprise for everybody. And everybody was really emotional, but it was a really good, well-spent 2 weeks with them.
That's very cool, that's man. Awesome. Well, it's incredible to see how far you've come in this journey to where you are now. And we're really excited to see you continue to build on your game and see you kicking some butt out there.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. You're listening and watching The Lounge Podcast. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek studio. We also want to give a shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They are an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a limited time offer running that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you're a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, the promo code is FLOCK, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. So really enjoyed just sitting down with him. Great story. I mean, this is, I think that sometimes you see these guys on the field and you don't necessarily know even or remember all the stories that it takes for these guys to get here. But, you know, Daniel left home at 16 years old and didn't get back until this year.
Right.
7 years away, moving to the other side of the world, totally different everything. And, you know, now he's got this opportunity to play in the league. It shows, a big sacrifice on his part, you know, and also, you know, he bet on himself and he's got a big opportunity now, but really liked him.
Well, incredible to see, you know, a guy who didn't know anything about football 7 years ago. He didn't know the first thing about the game to now playing in the NFL, lining up against some of the best pass rushers in the league, right? It also makes me think, hey, you know, we need to be patient with some of these guys. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody gets excited by the Ravens draft picks and that's just the way society works. It's like, all right, I want to see what this guy's got. And you see him on the field and then there's quick judgments made on whether how good they are. Mm-hmm. Right. And like Daniel Falalele, the Ravens drafted him as a developmental prospect who has all the tools.
Yeah.
We're sitting here talking about the Amarius Mims and the Tyler Guyton's of the world. And everybody's drooling over, hey, they have prototypical size, 6'8", 300 some pounds. The guy that was just sitting here, 6'8", 300 some pounds, right? Yep. And like, look, every guy's individual. You can't just compare them all. But like, you talk about a toolsy offensive tackle who can develop into a really solid player. Daniel Falalele is in that mix.
Yeah, it's also interesting because in recent years, the Ravens have, in terms of some of the guys that they've drafted, taken some players who were newcomers to the sport. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's only been playing football. It's crazy. You go back 7 years, he didn't even know what football was. Like, he didn't even really understand the rules. He didn't know what first down was. You know, it's like you're playing Madden to learn how the game works. And they're saying, do tackle drills. And he's like, what's a tackle? You know, like, and now he's lining up in the NFL. Like, that, it speaks to the tools. But I also think that, like, those are being refined. And I think that, like, I agree with your point about you do need to be patient. And I think that he hasn't been playing the game for very long. And so he is building those tools every single day. And I think that, you know, he's got a big opportunity in front of him. I could absolutely see him being the starting right tackle when this season opens this year.
Absolutely. And he's got the right coach too.
Yeah.
You know, let's not overlook how the Ravens have developed some of these offensive linemen. You know, people weren't talking about John Simpson at this time last year as being a starting, you know, guard who goes off and gets a really solid payday the following offseason. People did not see that coming. And, you know, the Ravens have a number. Ricky Wagner, I go back, it was a developmental guy. You know, now he had a little more experience under his belt than Daniel Falalele. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have routinely draft these guys, develop them. Ryan Jensen. I mean, the list is long. And Daniel Falalele is, they hope, another guy in that process. Now, could they go out and draft a right tackle, Amarius Mims, you know, in the first round? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They could, right? Mm-hmm. But that guy isn't necessarily, they're not going to just hand him the starting job, you know, on draft night and say, all right, here you go, let's step right in. Because you read what the pundits are writing, you know, Mims and Guyton are short on experience. It could take a little bit of a runway for them. Yeah. They might need a little bit of a build-up process as well. And so, to Daniel's point, hey, it's all competition.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what it's going to be in the draft. Whoever they pick, whether it be at number 30 or wherever, like, that guy is going to be competing with players like Daniel Falalele and Andrew Voorhees and Ben Cleveland and all those guys.
Yeah, like, the other part of it, too, is the Ravens are looking for the best five linemen.
Yep.
So even if they draft a tackle, a potential tackle at 30, they could start that player at guard, too, if they feel like Daniel's the best option at right tackle. You know, I think that, like, they're looking for the best five. And so they're going to look at this line. They're going to draft offensive linemen. There's no doubt that they're going to draft offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And probably some players that have the potential to play guard or tackle. Right. And so if they take someone at 30, yeah, maybe he ends up starting at right tackle, or maybe they say, you know what, we want Daniel out there. We want to put that guy at right guard or at left guard.
Right.
I think that all of that stuff is on the table, and that's going to be hashed out over the course of training camp.
Yep, absolutely. So a lot more to be decided, and the Ravens are going to be looking really in depth, have already looked at all those offensive linemen that could come in here and compete with Daniel. So exciting times, a lot of draft coverage coming your way. We're going daily next week here on the Lounge, and then we have a live podcast as well. Give listeners the details.
Yeah, coming up on Thursday night, draft night. So we're all excited about the first night of the draft. Of course, that starts at 8 o'clock. But before that, starting at 7:30, you'll be able to watch a live episode of the Lounge podcast. We're doing it from a PSL event, fan event that we're having for a select group of PSL owners at Reckless Shepherd Brewing. But it's going to be an awesome time, and we're going to give you kind of a full breakdown of what the Ravens could do in that draft. It's setting the table before draft night. We're going to have some players there as well who we're going to have on the podcast. So you'll be able to watch that on our app, our website, our YouTube channel, which is our Facebook page as well. So that's going to be a great time. And coming up on Monday, we actually sat down with Ravens director of player personnel, George Kakinis. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, one of the people behind the scenes who's really important in this entire process. As the Ravens are going through building out this board, making their final decisions, he sat down on this couch and kind of gave us some perspective on this draft class, as well as some great stories.
Yep.
Some really interesting stories from his time here with the Ravens. So you'll want to check that out. That's going to drop on Monday. So thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening, and we will talk with you again soon.